There's one. Set for stun.
Three guys sitting in a dark room that smells like bad cucumbers.
Don't make me angry. You wouldn't like me when I'm angry.
Inconceivable!
Now featuring 11. 11 listeners.
This is me.
You're a slimy scumbag. Get on your face and give me 25.
This is the Unique Geek.
And welcome to another edition of 50 Days of Dragon Con, the podcast from someplace far, far away. And joining me, as always, is Darth Lee.
Hello, I'm not Darth. No, I'm a Jedi.
How about Garth Lee, then?
What was that?
How about Garth Lee?
No, I hated that movie.
Did you really?
I didn't like those characters. I really didn't. I know.
What?
I know. This means
you more related to the Rob Lowe character, right? Is that what you're trying to tell me?
Yeah, probably a little bit. I would have totally made money from him, but okay. So, but no, I never liked that movie. It's really weird. I didn't. So what?
What things or what?
No, I mean, we're just getting so close. So
Today
is the Saturday before Dragon Con.
Yeah.
And I am doing all my washing. And then I'm having to sort like, okay, don't wear this week because it has to go in Dragon Con.
If you're doing all your washing, does that mean you're sticking sticks through things or what are you doing?
No. What do you mean sticks?
Washing. Wash.
Wash. Okay. Oh, that's not fun. Washing, stop. I'm not saying his name.
Okay.
I am not. Stop it. So, yes, you're just trying to trick me into saying that lovely actor's name, and I'm not doing it. But what is really funny, though, is I'm not even doing costuming. So it's not like I've got Jedi robes or, you know, Captain America's unitard to wash. I just have regular clothes, and it's still a lot of work.
Well, okay, yes.
I don't like this work.
Laundry is still done with things other than cosplay uniforms.
I know, but it's a lot of work. And I don't know how the people that do cosplay uniforms do it, because how do they make sure that they can get everything together? I mean, especially when we have new costumes that come in.
Like from other new movies and franchises
like
and stuff?
Movies, like Rey. I would love to dress as Rey. And I know people who have dressed as Rey, but they got the little army thing.
That's not true. Nobody ever dresses as Rey. Because
I
really,
do know somebody who dresses as Rey.
Who would care about Star Wars, really, at this point?
Okay, so Brandy, come in here and hit John in the head and tell him about your Rey costume.
Well, I was going to say, I think everybody loves Star Wars now. Everybody's a Star Wars fan.
It was
like the biggest movie of all time in December.
Yeah, whatever. Sure. Mm-hmm. Star Wars. Never heard of it.
How many times did you go see it in the theater?
Three.
Three?
Probably only four.
No, he saw it three. You four?
Saw it three.
I was at least two. It might have been three. I can't remember. I know two. So, very cool.
I know I saw it.
You had to go see it in 3D IMAX. It was absolutely worth it. It was a totally different experience, even if it was your last time viewing it.
See, here's the problem with 3D IMAX. My husband...
It's $5,000 a ticket.
No, the $5,000 ticket. No, my husband is blind in one eye, and so he can't see 3D. And you didn't know that. Here's your little science for today. So us going to a 3D IMAX doesn't do anything for him. So we don't usually go to them.
They're going to have to make the technology better.
They are. Well, or just give him a bionic eye, which would be kind of cool, too.
There you go. Also, technology advances.
I like that. So, but you did. I saw your costumes. You dressed as Rey. And how much work is that to clean and be ready to do it again? Because I can't, literally, I'm freaking out with the just regular laundry.
Rey is the best Dragon Con costume ever. It's capris and a tank top, basically. Best costume ever. And then you buy, like, you can get, like, the normal Jedi sort of fabric, or you can go all out and get the viscous or whatever that's like a silky rayon, nylon, I don't even know. Best costume ever. Super easy. You just drape that around two or three times. The belt's the hardest part.
Yeah, so that's the thing that goes over your, like, the little thing that made the X on front of her. Like, the little whatever it is. Okay, But that just amazes me. Yeah, I guess it's just kind of a linen blend, if you look at it, or something. Okay. Yeah. That's kind of amazing.
Okay. Best costume ever, and totally ready for Atlanta Heat.
Well, dear God in heaven, that would be a better one. I could not imagine being a stormtrooper. The 501st, every year, I'm just like, you sweet, wonderful, amazing bastards.
This,
dear God, it's hot.
I'm convinced that's why they can never hit anybody, is because there's sweat constantly pouring into their eyes, so they can't see anything.
That seems absolutely legit. That's got to be the best thing going. I mean, come on, they were on Tatooine. Everything in Star Wars is on a desert planet.
Even
they're burning up.
Even just being in the uniform. I mean, look, when oh God, now I'm blanking on his name. When he took his helmet off,
Finn.
Thank you, Finn. Thanks. When he took his helmet off, he was covered in sweat. I mean, come on.
Yeah.
That's probably what's going on here. Really, really, the Empire is just stuck on this particular, plan that we're going to build it with this design. Look at the Death Star, for crying out loud. Oh, there's a hole there. Let's go ahead and build another one with a hole in it again. Why not? Sure. Let's keep doing that.
John, it could be worse.
Yes.
Could be Chewbacca or an Ewok.
Well, at least that's part of his body, right?
Cosplay as Chewbacca.
There's no cosplaying. He just exists.
That's just true. That would be awesome. I would love that, because he hugs me every year at the Dragon Con
just
parade.
Wookiees.
Yeah, they're just dedicated.
No,
that's
they
a different
are
level of dedication.
There right is there. A level of dedication that's just it. So, all right. So, of course, we're talking about Star Wars. But Brandy, so tell us who you are and how you got involved with Dragon Con and Star Wars.
Hi, I'm Brandy Rossi. I am the DragonCon Star Wars Programming Track Director. I started out a couple years ago as an intern in the Public Defender's Office who did not know a soul in Atlanta because I moved from Virginia. I did not have one friend. Atlanta Rebels meeting. Yeah, now I've got tons. And a bunch of the Hotlanta Rebels have been going to Dragon Con for a really long time. So I started it out in signage and moved to information services. And then I was lucky enough to get this gig, which is arguably the best one ever, because it is an amazing time to be a Star Wars fan.
Oh, it is.
Yeah. I mean, your track pretty much is set for at least the next, 15 years or so.
Well, so you've got, well, Rogue One's coming out, a couple of months, right?
Yeah, December.
December. Yeah. I keep like thinking it's like next month and it's not. But it's
every December. Every December we're going to get a new movie, basically. They haven't even hit the media blitz yet. So that's how you know it's not quite time for Rogue One. There's way more coming.
Oh my
way
God.
More media.
I can't, that's what I do, Rebel. I'm just like, oh, what do you do, Rebel? I'm like, oh, I like you a lot already. I don't know who you are, but I like you a lot. So I think it's kind of, and Forrest Whitaker is in that movie, who is one of my favorite. Whenever I see a movie and it's like Forrest Whitaker is in there, I'm like, no matter what, I'll like those scenes.
This is to make up for Battlefield Earth, I think. That's where he's going with this one.
Well, sometimes you need a paycheck. Sometimes you got an ex-wife to pay or you need a house.
Well, I mean, he sort of, looks like the character that he played in Battlefield Earth. So
no, we stop that.
A little bit.
So,
his character's coming from Clone Wars. So they're finding a way to tie everything in. It's amazing.
Well,
yeah. Maybe not even a character you would have remembered if you'd watched Clone Wars years ago. It's like a three or five episode story arc. So spoiler alert. Forrest Whitaker, his character is Saw Gerrera.
Okay.
From season 5, I think, of Clone Wars.
I probably have that one somewhere, so now I get to go look it up. That'll be good. Clone Wars.
It's on Netflix.
I've got to tell you, Clone Wars and the new Rebels animated shows are brilliant. They are doing a lovely, lovely job on those. I just the animation is always great. I actually like that style of animation for this, but also the storylines that I've seen have been wonderful. And I haven't watched them all, but the ones I have watched, I've been just kind of hooked very quickly.
Absolutely. They're so much fun, and they're not just for kids. I mean, they're perfectly fine for most kids. Some of the parts are a little intense every now and then, but so much fun. And Rebels is on Disney XD, And we have a couple of pretty cool Rebels guests coming to Dragon. Mm-hmm.
Well, who are they?
Well, we have Henry Gilroy, who is actually one of the writers who wrote for Clone Wars, and he writes for Rebels. And he's actually going to be on our Rebels fan panel, which should be really, really fun. But he's going to do a couple of our comic panels as well. And then we have the Grand Inquisitor himself. Other people might know him as Lucius Malfoy, Jason Isaacs, which is absolutely so exciting because I'm like, he's a legit actor. He's been in everything. He's been a bad guy for years.
Well, and let us not say this, folks. So many of these actors that we're talking about, I mean, we're talking about Forest Whitaker and Jason Isaacs and others, they grew up with Star Wars. I mean, I just find it very interesting that, you know, James Bond wanted to be a stormtrooper. Didn't care if anybody saw his face, doesn't give a rat's butt. He wanted to be a stormtrooper because, you know, we grow up being stormtroopers and or probably playing stormtroopers or whatever. So, you know, that's kind of awesome.
It's just such a different experience, I think, coming in 30 years later or 40, I guess. New Hope turns 40 next year. So, yeah, crazy. But all of these people coming in now pretty much know what they're getting into. Harry Potter, maybe they knew it was going to be big, maybe they didn't, but you already know Star Wars is very well established and possibly one of the biggest things in the universe
or in the galaxy. Far, far away
and a far, far away.
Whether it's happening now or far, far away a long, long time ago,
so
we don't care. It really hurts to hear that, oh my god, it does turn 40 next year.
So you mentioned a couple of guests. What other guests do you have for your track this year?
Well, Dragon Con has worked really well with the Center for Puppetry Arts down here. And so we've got pretty much a North America exclusive, pretty much an outside of Celebration exclusive, in that we have the puppeteers in charge of BB-8, who is like the most adorable droid in the galaxy. Sorry, R2-D2. But BB-8 is just a different level. It's just the most adorable thing. So exciting. And they are coming to Dragon Con. So exciting.
So yeah, I have a theory on R2 and why he was so quiet for so long through mm-hmm. there. He was just being passive aggressive towards BB-8 because he realized that he was the new cuteness. And so, you know, he was just like, I'm not going to talk to this little thing.
Did you have one of those R2-D2 droids that my sister got one years ago? My husband played with it forever because the kids were like, it's a little too difficult for them to play with it. My husband played with it for a while, which you could like tell it to do something and it would decide if it wanted to do it or not. R2-D2 overall as a droid is passive aggressive, and they had it in the little book. Sometimes R2 decides he doesn't want to do anything. I think that was like one of the directions. R2 decides he doesn't like you, and he just sits there and makes poops and poops and doesn't do anything. And you're like, oh my god, a passive aggressive droid. And it was, yeah.
You feel the frustration Luke would have had in dealing with him. You do. I mean, he's wonderful, but yeah.
Well, and
he has a mind of his own.
BB-8 reminded me of a kitten or a puppy who is so excited to be with you that they'll follow you anywhere. They'll do whatever you want to do. And they just, what's the next thing we get to do? You know, I kept looking at him going, I kind of want to hug him and squeeze him and call him George and tickle his little tummy. Although he doesn't really have a tummy, but yeah, he was so cute.
Complete with the little head twist. Too. The little just head like twist. A puppy. You're exactly right.
And the thumbs up.
Yes.
My dog doesn't have a thumb. I don't know about you guys.
Well, my dog doesn't have a thumb, but, you know, your dogs kind of give you that thumbs up look occasionally.
Just the pure adoration in their eyes, too.
Well, so, just the pure, this is the best idea you've ever had. Yep, I'm on board with you. You don't get that from your puppies?
No.
John?
No. No, they all hate me. They're all like, they are R2s. They are all R2s.
They're all the passive aggressive R2s. Okay. Well, that works.
You just haven't taught them the buzzwords. My dogs, they'll do anything if you say the word treat.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, you're not anywhere near your dog right now, are you? All right. So who else do we have this year?
Or what else are you doing that's really cool?
One of those things.
Well, we're doing lots of things that are really cool. But the best part about Dragon Con this year is not only are we doing a lot of awesome things that are super fun, but the rest of Dragon Con really stepped it up. pretty much any time during Dragon Con, you're going to have one or two options of something to do, whether it's us putting on Star Wars programming or the video gaming track, the gaming track, science track, puppetry track. It is an amazing time to be a Star Wars fan. And the rest of Dragon Con has sort of stepped it up to help us out and make sure that we are offering almost as much, if not more, programming than the Star Wars-centric conventions and the Lucasfilm-specific celebration that just happened in Europe. So BB-8 is super exciting. I can't really stress that enough because it's the only appearance outside of Celebration Europe. So it should be really, really fun.
Dang it.
So,
but we also have a lot of amazing things. Like one of the best panels we do that is always a massive fan favorite is our fan readings of the Star Wars Shakespeare books. Oh, so we're doing the Phantom Menace. So you can just picture Jar Jar Binks in old Elizabethan English. I can't wait to see how that goes. It should be insane.
Yeah, I love those. Those are really, really cool. The folks that came up with that idea were absolutely brilliant. So you also have some stuff you're doing at night, right? Some big special events?
We do. We are bringing back our Suit Sinatra and Star Wars party on Friday night. It's kind of a cocktail party, kind of a swing dance. It's the songs you've grown up listening to, and they're classics. They're the standards. It's sort of a low key way to get Dragon Con started. It's just fun. Get dressed up if you want to.
This is the perfect time. Yeah, this is the perfect time for your little black dress and your cool pants and cool shoes to go dance. This is it's much more low key, but it's a lot of fun.
And we make up for it the next night for the last party on Alderaan, where we really are partying like it is the end of the world and there is no tomorrow. Bobby Shively is like the head of the 501st here in Georgia, and he's our DJ. And you never know who's going to stop by, but I guarantee you there'll be a couple of stormtroopers around, or at least a couple stormtrooper helmets. But it is insane. It is one of the busiest parties. It's like a true Vegas club experience where you're getting quality dance, hip hop, top 40 mixes. And it's just, it's insane the whole time. It'll start about 10 o'clock on Saturday, and there will be a line pretty much the entire night.
Where is that at again?
It's in the Imperial Ballroom.
Oh, that's right. Every year we talk about this, it's always there.
It's crazy. It's so much fun. But the music is just phenomenal. He does such a great job. He can mix anything together and make it sound amazing. He's a professional. That's not what he does in his real life. It's something he does on the side as a professional business as well. But it is super fun and just some of the best music that you're going to find outside of a real club.
Mm-hmm. So. And then is that just real quick? Is that all? That's all ages.
It gets really adult the later it goes. Okay. As everything at Dragon Con does. We let a couple of kids in last year, but they really need to be going home after a certain point. Just because, Dragon Con After Dark is a totally different experience.
Right. And
people will be dancing and they might be moshing.
And it's a good point to, it's a good time to remind everyone. We've said it 1,000 times this year, but Dragon Con's policy is, if you're under 16, you have to have an adult. If you're over, you're 7 or over, you have to have a membership. And if you're 16 or over, then we assume that you know what your kid is doing. But still, that being said, as Brandy pointed out, it's probably a good idea at a certain point that maybe it becomes too adult for you, that it might be time to go to bed.
And on Sunday night, we have a panel that is only for adults. We will absolutely be checking IDs. That's a hard line rule on that one. We've renamed it, rebranded it. Caution may be controversial. And it's sort of a carnival and rule 34 of the internet in real life sort of discussion about all things sci-fi and the most ridiculous things that have ever popped into your head, with some Cards Against Humanity thrown in there too. So, but that's always Sunday night. It used to be called just our adult themes panel. But Caution may be controversial is the new iteration.
Okay, cool. And that covers not just Star Wars, as what you just said, right? It just could cover pretty much anything.
Pretty much anything.
Okay.
Yeah, and that's really and truly, we could have just named it that. This will cover pretty much anything. It's crazy. There's just not even a good way to describe what goes on, because you never know what's going to pop up in somebody's mind if they're sitting there talking about Alien versus Predator and who knows what else. It's awful. It's scandalous. It's crass. But it's funny. It's almost always funny. It's just not very serious. We do not take ourselves very seriously at that point.
Well, I think that's actually part of the good thing, is that there are times we take ourselves very seriously. Please do not tell me that Peggy Carter was not the most awesome show. Agent Carter was not the most awesome show, because we will have a very tense discussion. But then also, I got into an argument once with somebody over Ewoks versus aliens and predators.
What?
And who would win. And we kind of all three finally decided the Ewoks. And we were not drinking. I don't want to hear we actually had this as a very fun, lively discussion. So
mostly because they can
happen at DragonCon too.
Mostly because they can apparently survive a nuclear fallout. So that's really why.
That's a part of it. Also because they're a little more sneaky, because they're smaller.
Well, you know,
it's like guerrilla warfare with them.
Yeah, and exactly, and they get those things that mush together, just like they mushed the AT-AT. They could mush the alien's head with those two big logs.
They're pretty terrifying.
They are.
In fact, Ewoks eat people was a thing, and it
right.
had sort of been like a recurring theme. It was born at DragonCon on one of these panels years and years and years ago.
They were going
to. Sean Rosato came up with that. They're totally going to eat us.
Yeah, they were totally going to eat Han until Leia stepped in.
Right. C-3PO yeah. had to save the day and pretend to be a deity.
Right.
So
because that was
everybody was going to get eaten.
Except for Leia, because Leia was going to actually have to eat her brother and boyfriend. So, yeah, that doesn't sound right. Okay, so, sorry. But these are the silly conversations you will get into and have fun with. So, just saying.
That's pretty awesome. So,
it's sort of the best part of DragonCon, I think.
It really is. These are, yeah, the non-planned.
So, what other panels do you have this year?
Well, so on the serious side, we are, in fact, bringing back our Minorities in Star Wars panel. We're calling it Representation Matters, because yes. There's been so much of an outcry. Like, how dare they make Captain Phasma a girl? And how dare we have a black stormtrooper? You know, it's just very, very different. The online trolls have been rabid. So we're going to have a conversation about why it is really important for all of us to see ourselves in Star Wars, because Star Wars is for everybody. That's one of our serious discussions.
I just remember, I do, because again, I saw Star Wars in the theater and I was 7. And I remember there was only really Leia. There was only really Leia, and many Bothans died to bring us this information. Okay. That was really it. And I remember when I saw, when I saw The Force Awakens, I was so excited. There were girls that were flying X-Wings. There were girls doing all the stuff around all the tables. And, you know, there was Finn, and there was all of this, you know, and there's Captain Phantasm, whatever her name is. I can't ever say it right. Representation is important. I'm sorry. I'm just so happy. Because I remember being a girl and being told that all I could do was play Princess Leia, because girls didn't fight. Girls didn't get a star. Girls didn't get a lightsaber.
Except the thing is that she was the first one to take a blaster away from somebody so she could start shooting.
I know.
There's no question she's a badass.
Oh, Leia is the ultimate of all the badasses. Thank you. She's awesome.
But if you were a blonde, you know, maybe you didn't see yourself in Star Wars for a while. Mm. It's super exciting that
yes. It
is becoming a little bit more inclusive. Yes, you can still be a Jedi. You can still be a stormtrooper, but it was really fun to see just a normal person. That's all we thought Rey was for a really long time. Now we're finding out a little bit more about her, and hopefully we'll find out even more in episode 8. But we know nothing right now.
Nothing.
Which we're having a panel just to discuss how much we don't know and how many scandals and cliffhangers they've left us with.
Welcome to DragonCon. There's a lot of that.
There's a lot of that. So I'm just curious, what is your theory? This is all your theory. What is your theory on Rey?
you know, honestly, I'm going to be really, really upset and disappointed if she's not a Skywalker. Because Kathleen Kennedy, who is the new president of Lucasfilm,
yes,
told us that Star Wars is a Skywalker family saga. So I want her to be a Skywalker. I was really hoping that she was Han and Leia's, but we didn't. It doesn't seem to be going that way. So hopefully she's Luke's. Whether or not she's also maybe Obi-Wan's granddaughter, that could be a fun theory to you. But
well,
I want her to be Luke.
Well, see, okay, so my thing is, I kind of want her, not with Finn, who was the other one? Poe.
Oh, okay.
Poe Dameron.
Yeah, Poe Dameron, thank you. I kind of want her and Poe to be brother and sister and be Han and Leia's, but they've never really been told because they were trying to protect them. But then this kind of makes them really piss poor parents because they left her on.
Well,
planet like
that also means for the most part they're 3-0, they're 0-3. I mean, yeah, Poe is.
Well, no,
you know,
Poe is good and she's good.
But
they're too good.
Yeah.
But they're 1-3. Come on, dude, they're 2-3.
No, but that's again assuming that your weird theory is correct. That,
I know that's my theory. That, I mean, I love the idea of them being brother and like twins or brother and sister. Because I think they're very close in age. I have no idea. I don't know how old Jason Isaacs or Daisy are. So I don't have any clue. But there's my crazy theory. John, what's yours?
Yeah, but I suspect that if that were true, at least with Poe, they would have told him at some point. I mean, because he's around the time.
He's the best flyer in the galaxy.
So?
Who's the other best flyer before Poe?
I'm going to argue Chewbacca.
I'm going to argue. Oh, well,
given
there would need to be some manscaping. There's definitely some manscaping going on if he's part Wookiee.
Yeah. But, you know, sorry. Okay. So, what is your crazy theory? All right. So, mine. John, what's yours?
Well, no, I want to hear Brandy's. I don't have any crazy theories. I don't think her theory was crazy. I think
right on. She's somehow Luke's. Okay.
Oh, dear God. Yes. Brandy, you were going to say something there.
Well, I have a separate theory about Poe.
Oh, okay.
Well, maybe not a theory, and this is probably in a fanfic somewhere. But, you know, Leia sent her best pilot. So I'm like, all right, Han ran off. They're probably divorced, maybe, maybe not.
Mm.
Poe Ghana can be a thing. Poe and Leia Organa.
Although that makes her a cougar. Mm.
Well,
it could be hot.
It could be hot.
Carrie Fisher still looks awesome, and she's so much fun. Why not?
Yeah, and we're going into some Rule 34, but
she's
I'm okay with
position
this.
Of power.
I'm not upset with this idea.
Like I said, there's probably a fan there
is
somewhere
probably
out there.
So this
and
is,
if not, there should be. Hashtag Pogana.
Thank you for the diet Mountain Dew up my nose. Ow, that stings. By the way, people, don't ever do that. Okay.
So we got a mild taste of your After Dark. What other tracks or panels rather do we have going on?
Well, okay, so we've got our pure speculation panels, and we've got our scandals and our cliffhangers panel. Like I said, we're gonna have an art and comics panel with Henry Gilroy and several other of the comic book artists, illustrators, animators. So that should be really fun. Again, a little bit more on the serious side. Of course, we're going to have our costuming panels. This year, we're going to have a Ladies of the Legions panel that is going to discuss, you know, some of the costuming concerns or how you need to modify armor if you're not a tiny little person that has no curves.
Well, I do think actually it was interesting to see until you heard the voice. I had no idea. That was Captain Phantasm or whatever. Say it for me.
Phantasm?
Phasma.
Really?
But evidently based on Phantasm, the 1980s.
I can't. Yeah, I can't. That's the problem. I can't get it out. So, but that's just it. Until we heard that voice, there was nothing in the armor that showed me anything. So,
which
I mean,
it's armor.
It's armor.
Which is totally,
you
know,
totally doable.
Makes sense.
Now, however, I also have hips. I got some. So I think it would be a very interesting costume if I ever put it on. But I do think, yeah, I love that. That's a great idea. I love that. Awesome. Sorry.
We've got our female 501st Mandalorian mercs and Rebel Legion members who are going to discuss some of the options available and that it's not just a boys club.
No.
So it should be a really fun panel. They pitched that one themselves and have pretty much taken it over. But you know, how do you modify? Because a lot of the Stormtrooper kits are all made by the same armor makers. So how do you modify that to fit your body type? So while it's ladies of the Legion, and that's a concern for women, again, if you're too short to be a Stormtrooper, or
that would be me.
You know, you're a little bit bigger,
that would
how
be
do
me.
You modify that armor to fit?
Just with the hips. So. I mean, the little bit bigger is more with hips. John, you could be a Stormtrooper, but you got some serious hips on you too, so...
Thanks.
I don't know how you. I don't. You,
thanks. It's always a pleasure talking to you, Lee.
Way. I mean it in the best. No, I'm joking. So yeah. So then we got that too. So very cool. Very cool.
It's a really exciting year. We've got a lot of stuff behind the scenes this year with writers. With we have Frank Ippolito who did effects and makeup for The Force Awakens. So that is insanely exciting. Can't wait to talk to him about that.
And you said writers, and I have not looked at your track or. The people that are coming, but I'm going to plug it only because, you know, I know desperately that Star Wars/Disney/Lucasfilm/ the publishers need the money, but all the books that are coming out,
they're doing so poorly right now.
They're doing so poorly and they're desperate for the money. The actual books that are coming out right now, you can go, you know, you can get them on Amazon, you can go to a local bookstore. They're actually very, very good. The Princess, the Scoundrel, and the Farm Boy was an awesome read. The one about Han Solo between Star Wars and Empire Strikes Back, great read. Just, there's some really, really good books out there. I read the first universe that's now the Dead Universe. Those were great too, but...
Legends.
I'm sorry, is that now. What it's called? The Legendary Universe. But this new universe is done very, very well. So you can also go read those. And I've my 17-year-old nephew's reading a lot of them and loving them. So that's just
Del
my
Rey.
Plug.
But yeah, I will absolutely second that. Bloodline is one of the best books that I've read. I loved it. But Del Rey has been amazing. And they sent us about 6 boxes of books to give away.
Yay!
We've got Bloodline to give away. And I believe we also are going to have Aftermath Life Debt. And we do raffles of every panel.
Awesome.
So we have a ton of stuff to give away this year.
Yay!
Those books are phenomenal. And they fill in a lot of the gaps. And similar to Marvel and how Disney's been handling Marvel and how everything is intertwined, they are doing an awesome job in making sure that even the most obscure characters are finding their way back in.
So yeah, and I, you know, as we already know, we're getting a Han Solo movie. At least one, if not... 3. They're starting the Now Talk trilogy, so who knows. But, you know, I mean, and the first one they were talking about doing was Boba Fett, and that's because the fans love Boba Fett. We love the Mandalorians. We love Boba Fett. It's just kind of amazing, so.
Which is hilarious to think that Boba Fett got his start from the holiday special.
Did he really?
People really don't talk about. Yeah, he was a cartoon in the
nobody...
holiday special, which is hilarious.
Okay, you know because... I have that VHS sitting in front of me, because I gotta find it on DVD.
The reason why nobody talks about it, Brandy, is because nobody talks about that. I mean, we talk about it.
Terrible.
We talk about it, but we really don't talk about it.
Wait, have I ever told you? Okay, so I gotta embarrass myself. So years and years and years ago, when I first started coming to Dragon Con, I was so excited because Steve Sansweet and Kevin Anderson were on a panel together, and I had their books, and I was all excited and all that. And I said, okay, please help me, because I didn't know all this backstory. I didn't know all this. I'm sorry. I wasn't that big of a fan of Star Wars. I mean, I was a huge fan of Star Wars, but I didn't know all the minutiae. I didn't know all the backstory. And I basically raised my hand and asked a question during a panel. And I said, I seem to remember this kind of Christmas special thing when I was a kid, but I can't ever find it and everything else. And I will just never forget. Like, and Steve Sansweet looked at me and he goes, and you are next on the block for the people to come to get you. So be very, very quiet, because George doesn't talk about it. And I didn't realize all the backstory of the Christmas special and the Christmas special that never was, and B. Arthur and Harvey Korman and all of that. So, yeah, I embarrassed myself in front of Steve Sansweet and Kevin Anderson and said, is it really? Did I imagine that? And they were like, no, we'd like to pretend you imagined it. But so, yeah. That was like one of my first Dragon Con memories.
Yeah, I think everybody tries to pretend that they imagined that. There's some Rule 34 in that too, actually. It's very strange.
Mm-hmm. Because it's Awakening. What was it? Awakening Day?
Life Day.
Life Day. And then, oh, and then the Ewok show they showed afterwards, where the Ewoks actually kind of, if you look at them, because they made their eyes bigger and their teeth bigger, they kind of look a little scary. That Ewok Adventure movie?
No, that's just cute. Ewoks are cute.
No, you got to look at them. They look really kind of like they're going to eat all of us again.
Well, we're actually going to talk about some of those Ewok cartoons on Saturday morning after awesome. The parade. So we've got retro blasting coming in, and we're going to talk about these Star Wars cartoons of the past and where we're moving now. So it should be interesting to rehash those.
Yeah. Oh, they were awful. I mean, I'm sorry. They weren't awful. They were what they were. Does anybody remember the Ewoks cereal?
No.
I don't think I ever tried that.
It was pretty bad. But it was like shaped like little Ewoks. Ewok, waka waka, eat them. It was really bad.
Right. So you got your revenge and you ate Ewoks.
And you ate the Ewoks.
The other way around.
Not a good idea. Okay. Sorry.
Actually, the new Star Wars cereal is not terrible. On first bite, you're like, okay, this is sugar overload, because it's sort of like Fruity Pebbles and Lucky Charms had a baby.
Oh, I didn't know there was a new Star Wars cereal. I'm going to Kroger later. I'll look for it. Okay.
It's sugar overload, but if you compare the labels and stuff, it actually has less sugar than some of the other ones. And it grows on you after the first couple bites.
It grows on you.
It grows on you. I'm just like, and it's sprinkled with a little crack on top so that you're kind of addicted to it. So you have to buy more boxes, but you know.
So, you know, the one thing we haven't actually brought up yet, which is, where is your track located?
Well, we are in the Marriott behind the Pulse Bar. Actually, it's the atrium level back behind where the Blood Drive used to be. So if you were like opposite where all the main stuff happens down that hallway, where you can go to the Hyatt or to Peachtree Center on the Havoc Trail.
So where the, the roundabout behind the Pulse Bar, because we're trying to do that as a roundabout. One side goes one way, one side goes the other. Again, we're trying
again. Yes.
And there are gosh darn Pokemon there either. But yeah, do that way, because if you go to the right, you're going to the Hyatt. If you go to the left, you're going to Peachtree Center, the big food court. And if you go straight ahead, that's where the Star Wars panels are. Woohoo!
Yep, all the way in the back. It's A706. We're right beside Young Adult Lit, which is probably A705 or something.
I think it's 705, yeah.
How is your room situation back there now? Because now with everything that's coming out, it seems like you might be, you probably already were stretched to the limit, but you think you might be running out of needing more room at this point?
It will be fun to see. Like I said, everybody should be a Star Wars fan. And one of our challenges this year is going to be trying to balance and be welcoming to those people who've only seen The Force Awakens. Because I'm sure that have only seen The Force Awakens. So it's going to be really fun to see. We should be massive. We average 200 to 300 people per panel on a good, like on anything, even on Monday morning. Mm-hmm. So, it's standing room only most of the time. And it's a pretty big room though. We can hold a lot of people.
Well, your room is pretty, it's a pretty deep room. I mean, deep as in it goes far back. I don't mean that in a bad way. Well, deep as in deep topics, but also deep as in it has a lot of space.
Absolutely.
A lot of thinking.
Perfect. We're going to tweet that out.
A lot of thinking. God help you. A lot of thinking goes on there.
Lee, who was trying to say something and then made sure she said it the right way. Okay. All right.
The fun part about our track room is we really try to make it immersive, and so you don't just feel like you're in the Marriott. So last year we did a pop art panel. I can tease a little and say that our theme this year is much like our new logo we debuted, where we're just tying everything together. Let's just tie it all together. So it should be fun. It should look a little different than it has in the past. There should be some good photo ops.
Oh, great.
Well, there should be. And also one other thing to think about is if you go to your local Bed Bath & Beyond or Target, there are many, many, I don't want to call them stickers. What do we call them? The room, the things you can put on walls.
The little vinyl decals that peel off.
The vinyl decals, yeah.
Roommates.
Roommates, there you go. Thank you.
And so there are a lot of them that are set for Star Wars, both classic, as we want to call it, and now The Force Awakens. And so if you are looking to hook a niece or a nephew into Star Wars, there's a great one that says the Force is strong in this one that might be over the bed of my nephew. and so we're just saying that, you know, there are those kind of things if you're looking for Christmas presents.
You know,
they'll
it was
probably be in the vendor room too. Just,
you know, it was what? Great. Michael's not too long ago had a clearance of all that stuff too.
Oh, did they?
Yeah.
Oh,
yeah,
that's
yeah.
awesome. And they had a clearance of all their Star Wars fabrics too. Because I saw someone in an A-line Star Wars skirt, and I so wanted to steal it, but I didn't. I want points. I didn't steal their skirt. Do I get points for that?
You didn't,
yeah, you totally get points.
That you didn't. That you didn't assault someone? Yes, you get points.
I didn't assault someone. I get points. But I do have, and I'm sure Brandy does too. If you go on ThinkGeek, there's a maxi dress that has the Millennium Falcon and the Death Star.
Or the Millennial Falcon. It's like the Millennium Falcon, except for with a beard.
Hush up, you. I said it right.
And doesn't care.
And Alan T. was the big guy who kept giving the quarters of the green stuff that poofed up like bread. So, ha. I'm not saying his name, John.
Wait, that was Simon Pegg.
Simon
yeah, see,
Pegg.
There you
ha.
Go.
Okay, whoops. Simon Pegg, not Alan
right, right.
T. Thank you.
Alan T. that's coming to DragonCon
yes.
is the
his
new
voice. Yeah.
Smarty Pants droid in Rogue One. That's coming
there
out.
There we go. Yes, thank you. Okay.
That
there
won't kill you because you're a friend.
He won't?
Yes.
Even though he's got that Imperial symbol on his shoulder.
He tries to help. those are all from the preview or the trailer. Okay. So what other things do we want to make sure that we mention about the Star Wars? And I almost said Star Trek, so shoot me now. In my head, I went, no, that's not right. Well, you mentioned Simon Pegg. And blah, 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 blah. Okay. So lots of crossover, by the way, lately between Star Trek and Star Wars, be it directors, producers, you know, whatever. What other things do we need to hit for the Star Wars track that we may not have covered so far?
Well, if you have a youngling, we have our costume contest that will be on Sunday at 1. Make sure to pay attention that there are prejudging times when we are not in our track room, and the prejudging will occur there on Friday and Saturday. So just check the app to make sure that those times stay consistent. Right now, I think it's Friday 2:30 to 3:30 and Saturday 2:30 and 3:30. In order to try to get all the costumes prejudged so we can just hit the ground running on Sunday. We have our Youngling pod race that
Yay!
Is the most adorable thing on the planet.
Oh my God, it is. Everybody should go and watch. It's as much fun as the parade, but very, very much shorter.
Much shorter. So we dump out a whole bunch of fabric and duct tape and boxes that the con suite's going to give us, the blood drive is going to give us, cardboard boxes, the kids go to town and decorate them for 30 minutes. And then we run heat based on age groups from one side of the Marriott to the other on the 10th floor. And it is the most adorable thing. And the kids have a great
it's
time.
Oh, so cute. They're so, first of all, how they decorate these will make you giggle so hard. And you're trying not to, because the kids are like, look at what I did. And I did this and I did this and it means this. And you're like, you're nodding as you're explaining, but you're like, sweetheart, it's a, still a box, but you're so cute in your little box. We don't care. And then they run around. It's so cute.
It's absolutely
oh my
adorable.
God. It
it's
is adorable.
So much fun.
Oh my
and
God.
All the boxes turn out so differently.
They do.
So
they do.
It's amazing.
They're still boxes, but they do turn out very differently. They're so cute. Oh my God. Yes. If you have time, you should just go watch. It's so cute.
And also for the younglings, the costuming track is taking over our foam lightsaber party building. They're doing a workshop, and the New York Jedi, I believe, are going to be on hand helping out. So kids
cool.
can go make, I think, one or two lightsabers out of foam pool noodles. Maybe learn a couple tools of the trade from real Jedi. So it should be fun.
That is incredibly cool. Do you know when that is?
Let's see. I am trying to find it. It's Saturday at 1 p.m. in 308, I think, at the Hilton.
The Hilton. Okay.
So but the pod race is Sunday at 4 p.m. on the 10th floor of the Marriott.
Great.
So it should be fun.
So yes. Plan on leaving at about 2 so that you can get the elevator up to there by 4.
That's true. But at least all of the elevators stop on the 10th floor.
So that is helpful. True. Yeah, so you can get on any of them. Yeah, Marriott has that weird elevator system that if you don't know, if you aren't aware of it and you're trying to go to a different level, you might be, you know, screwed.
Everything goes from 10 by itself, and then AL, or is it ML? I can't remember which one's first, but the atrium all the way down to the lowest level. Yeah, and like then atrium, you have to get on other ones. Yeah.
Right. AL, lobby level, and then maybe ML or something.
I think there's an AL, ML, LL, and then some. There's one more lower, but I can't remember what it is.
What is your track doing for the parade this year?
Well, we don't actually do anything for the parade,
right,
because we have amazing fan groups that take care of that themselves. So I'm sure that there will be a massive, massive stormtrooper contingency. There will be the Rebel Legion, the Mando Mercs. I think the Mando Mercs are bringing a vehicle that sort of looks like a land speeder. Yeah, Star Wars is always very, very well represented at the end of the parade.
So
it's just magical to see that many stormtroopers walking by.
So this is my way of getting into the story that Brian told from DCTV, which I want confirmation on, because I had never actually heard this, but the legend is, at least, that it's the 501st is to blame for the parade to begin with, given that they were trying to sneak into the into the Salvation Army's parade that year that we shared presence with with them. Is there any truth to that rumor, or is that actual fact?
I have no knowledge of that, but knowing the stormtroopers that I know, they are amazing and they are very well organized, so they could do pretty much anything they want to.
So if you at least Lee's pretending like she doesn't know anything.
I just know that the stormtroopers really like marching together in formation.
And since Lee has a pretty big role with the parade, I'll defer to that expert.
Just go with that. And it is so, I have to say every year, so I do not know how the parade gets off every year, other than it's an amazing group, and we're going to talk about parade later, but it's an amazing group herding a lot of cats. And you're all wonderful people that are in the parade, and we mean no disrespect when we call you herding cats, but you are. And the 501st every year is just like, yes, ma'am, we are ready. Let's go. And they just line up, and they just like, you know, and they just march off. And it's just like, wow.
Well, maybe
they are pros.
It's a little scary because you're like, I think they could take over Atlanta if they thought about it really hard.
But again, they can't because of all the sweat that's inside of that armor.
They are sweating. That is true. Thank God. Thank God for the sweat. I think that might be our statement now. Thank God they're sweating. And it's heavy armor, I think.
It is very heavy. Like I said, they're very dedicated, but they're so good at it. And they look so amazing that when George Lucas was Grand Marshal of the Rose Parade, he called the 501st.
Mm-hmm. You know,
Disney, they call the 501st because they are just a different level. They're amazing.
Yeah.
They're so dedicated. And you have to remember that they are doing this for charity most of the time. They're doing it because it's fun, but they go to the children's hospital once a week.
If you're ever around during, like, between, you know, the day after Thanksgiving through Christmas, often on the weekends, you will see somebody in a Star Wars outfit or other 501st approved, because it's a whole group, outfits, and they will be there doing Toys for Tots, too. I mean, they're a great, great group, and they are absolutely wonderful. And every time I've ever met one of them, I am just amazed by that dedication, so.
They are. The Rebel Legion, the Mando Mercs, the 501st, all of them are phenomenal. They've helped us out for years when we go to Choa to do our Saber School, or when we did our toy drive with the Force Awakens for the opening at Atlantic Station. They suited up before the movie. Just amazing people, all of them.
And if you're there and they're around, you know, it's very hard for them to see, as we talked to somebody earlier. It's very hard for them to see out of those helmets. So get one of the handlers. They love talking to the kids. They love taking pictures with kids, whether it's the Mercs, whether whoever it is, they love doing it. So, you know, talk to them and they would love to take a picture with your kids. One of my pictures that will embarrass my child and he's not around. I have Darth Vader holding him with the 501st around him and he was about 18 months. Dude, that is so, so going to be blown up as a poster at his wedding. I can't wait.
I love that. The only thing, I'm picturing Simba and the Lion King in my head.
Well, actually, Vader was very sweetly holding. Vader was wonderful holding him because he was like holding him like right beside him, like, and I am presenting the wonderful child. It was awesome. It really, yeah, awesome. It was very, very Simba thing. It was awesome.
I think that Vader uniform is like 100 pounds and at least 100 degrees all the time.
It has to be
an ordeal for them. But they are awesome.
And the makeup all of the emperors have, how they keep that going and not, I'm always just amazed. I'm sorry. I just like, if I get started on this, I'm always like, oh, how do you people do it and not just die? Because it has to be very heavy and it has to be, and it doesn't melt. So I don't know how you do makeup that doesn't melt like that. But this is why I work for the federal government and not as a makeup artist. That's just
me. There you go. You know, like we talked about, you can come ask those questions.
You can.
At a fan group panel. Or you can ask Frank Ippolito, who did actual makeup for the movies. So
there you go.
Should be really fun.
It should be. All right, John, you ready to embarrass me?
Yeah. So I don't know if you've been listening this season, but we like to do a quiz with our guests and Lee and see who knows more about the topics that have been brought up. So in this case, let me roll the dice here. Okay. Yeah, that's the sound of dice being rolled. Oh, Lee. Lee gets the Frank Sinatra quiz. And,
awesome.
And yeah. Yeah, you just
I like
wait.
The Rat Pack. Don't go there.
And
we're all going to be embarrassed by this.
And Brandy, you get the Star Wars quiz. Okay, so all you right. know, because we're the Star Wars and Sinatra. Who wants to go first? Who?
Brandy.
Lee.
No.
All right,
Brandy. As soon as you hit five, my embarrassment and my pride stop taking a beating. So let's just go.
So Brandy, we'll start with you then. What were Luke's aunt and uncle's job on Tatooine.
They were moisture farmers.
Oh, that is absolutely correct. Wow. Good job. Okay.
That was not an easy question. I mean, yeah. And really, what was their job after that besides being
barbecue?
Murdered. Yeah.
They served as charcoal.
Pretty much. They served as props after that.
Ow.
So
again, diet Mountain Dew up the nose. Ow. Okay.
Lee, Frank Sinatra was born on what date?
The power of Google.
Frank Sinatra was born on what date?
Yes. You know, I will just take a month and a day. You don't have to give me the actual year unless you happen to know it. I mean, most people know it, but you know.
Really? You know, I think the thing there is, John, I don't know that people know that as much. You know, because I think people don't realize that he was born in the early 1900s, 1915.
Hmm. Okay. But what date?
I just know it was 1915. I think I should get half a point.
Brandy, do you want to try and steal?
I have no idea at all. I'm like,
all right, I'll give you.
I'll call Lee, phone a friend.
Yay.
I'll give Lee half a point, sure.
Thank you.
December 12th, 1915. Yes, you did get the year correct.
I did.
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
That's awesome. Well done.
Thank you. Thank you, Brandy. Thank you.
All right. How many languages, Brandy, this is for you. How many languages is CPO fluent in? CPO, C3PO. In a lot of these.
Millions. Over 3 million forms of communication.
Oof, no, that's not correct. Lee.
I would go with her because 3,000.
Well, technically she is correct.
No, I don't.
It's millions. Is it 3
it's
million
millions.
Or 5 million?
Yeah, I just remember him saying, I am fluent in over X number of communication. I don't remember.
It is 6 million. Six millions of words.
So Brandy still gets half a point.
So technically she was correct. So we'll give her half a point. Because it is more than one.
I hate you so much. Randy, you can hate him too. It's all right. We can all hate him. It's all right.
Yes, much hatred.
Much hatred here. We are on our way to the dark side of the force, John, and it's all your fault.
Okay, so what medical, this is for you, Lee, what medical drawback kept Sinatra from enlisting in the army during World War II?
Oh, yeah, he was 4F. I actually think it's the same as my grandfather. He couldn't hear out of one ear.
Okay, I'll take it. Punctured eardrum. Punctured eardrum.
Ha ha! No, my grandfather. Okay, so I have to tell this story. My grandfather couldn't be in World War II, and my uncle couldn't be in Vietnam because they were both declared 4F because they were deaf in one ear. And if they were both deaf in the other ear. So my grandfather was deaf, if I'm correct, in his right, and my uncle was in his left. So if you sat between them, it was the most hysterical thing ever because neither one of them could hear you.
Maybe they were just ignoring you.
No, everybody, because we had one aunt, great aunt, that talked all the time and nobody listened to her, we always put her between them. We did, on purpose. It was awesome.
All right, Brandy. What is the Wookiee's homeworld?
Kashyyyk.
That is correct.
And they climb up trees because in their hands, they have hooks that come out.
Which you would think would become,
that'd be kind of awesome.
More of a weapon.
Hand-to-hand combat with Chewbacca and those things come out and take somebody out. Be kind of cool.
That would make ripping the arms out easier anyway.
It would. Well, come on, think about it. That would be kind of cool in episode 8 or 9.
It would be terrifying.
It would be.
Then you'd know why Leia didn't hug Chewie. Because that would be very dangerous.
Yeah, that's true.
Lee, what is the middle name of Frank Sinatra?
I know his first name is Francis, but I don't know his middle name. Sorry.
Randy, do you happen to know?
No, not at all.
Albert.
Do I get a half a point for knowing his real first name?
No, because everybody knows his real first name.
That's a very un-Italian. It's not nearly Italian enough for a middle name for Frank Sinatra.
Brandy, who actually shot first?
Well,
which version are we watching?
According to canon and according to George Lucas, it is Greedo. However, originally Han shot first.
That is correct, as everybody knows. Because what does he know?
Han shoots first because as he hits Greedo shoots and it goes off angle.
But really, that question—it's a trap.
It's a trap. Okay, my mom doesn't listen to this podcast. Do you know what my mom's my ringtone is for my mom?
What?
It's General Akbar saying, "It's a trap. It's a trap. It's a trap." But don't tell my mom. Shh.
Lee,
your secret is safe with everybody who are listening.
But my mom doesn't, so shh. Don't tell her. Okay.
What was the official cause of Frank Sinatra's death in 1998, as opposed to his death in other years?
In 1998. I thought it was cancer.
No. Do you wish to take a guess at this morbid topic?
I would have guessed a heart attack or something like that.
That is correct.
Oh, there you go.
You have 4.5 points now, and you got a chance to close this out right now. Let's see. Which character is partially named after George Lucas's son?
His son is Jet Lucas. And it's the kid that protects them as they're running in episode 3, and now I can't remember his name. But it's Jet Lucas.
Jet Lucas? No. Well,
no, it was his Jet, name. J-E-T-T. But I can't remember what the character's name is.
Lee, you want to take a stab at it?
Mm-mm. No.
Okay, I'm gonna give Brandy half a point.
Yeah, she wins.
But the actual answer is Dexter Jetster. Dexter Jetster.
And what does he do?
That was
I don't
the
remember
full name.
Yeah.
What does he do in episode 3? I don't remember this.
In episode No, no, this.
Well, yeah, now that's three. Not the same person. I guess I. Oh, okay. I was thinking of the kid that he actually played.
Okay.
So no.
Protects Bail Organa.
No, it's the weird, well, the weird looking one from Star Wars.
Yeah, that didn't help. Try again.
It's the bearded guy. It's the bearded guy at Dragon Con.
It's the guy wearing a kilt at Dragon Con. Yeah. Okay, try again.
I think Dexter was the one in episode. I can't remember which episode. He runs the diner and has multiple arms.
Right. Yeah.
Okay. The one who gives Obi-Wan like information and stuff. Okay.
Yeah, Master Obi-Wan has lost a planet. He's the one that sets all that up.
Yeah, Yoda's lost a planet. Where is it? Yeah. Okay. Yeah. Very cool. And the little younglings.
Yeah. So that's got to be episode two because it sets up Attack of the Clones. It sets up the clones.
Yeah, I think you're right.
Yeah. Right before Attack of the Clones. Yeah. All right, so,
oh God, that's the character you did. Yeah, you named after your child.
Yeah, exactly.
But the kid
actually got to play like Zet or something in episode three. That as they're leaving, as I think it's Bail Organa is leaving the Jedi Temple. He sacrifices himself basically.
Oh, he did. Okay, I remember that scene. Yeah,
that's Jet Lucas
because he runs out part. And he runs out with his lightsaber, yes. So Bail Organa can get away. Yeah, I remember that scene. Oh, wow.
That's actually George Lucas's son.
Oh, okay.
I didn't realize they named another character after him, too.
That's cool. realize. What year? Okay, so what year did the episode three come out? That would have been, all right, so 99.
Yeah, 99, 2000. 2002,
about 2005. So my son would have been about 5 or 6 when it came out. And, of course, he's seen these. And, of course, we've raised him right. As a little geek. And so we saw him and we took him to the theater to see it. And during that youngling scene, he kind of crawled into my lap and he just kind of sat there and he didn't say anything. And I just kind of whispered and I said, I'm sure they're all sleeping because they're all, you know, on the ground. And he just, I'll never forget because he just sits up and he looks at him and he goes, Mommy, they're dead. All the parents around me were just like, snorting. And I'm like, I was trying to make it easier on my child, but it didn't work. So
yeah, that's a hard scene. That's a hard story arc to overcome.
Oh,
I loved Darth Vader growing up. He's still one of my favorites, but that's hard to reconcile. It's hard to excuse, really.
I would argue he should never have been redeemed from that. Even
I
though
agree.
There's sort
I don't
of a redemption
from you. I, yeah.
The, you know.
I'm not sure other than saving Luke, I'm not sure there's any redeeming other than okay, I didn't let my son become me. That's the only redeeming there is. Because even in, I'm sorry, this is spoilers, even in Rebels, I mean, that was the thing for me with Clone Wars where I had so many verklempt feelings is that as much as I loved Ahsoka, I know at some point Ahsoka's going to die. And it's all going to be because of Anakin / Darth Vader. And that's tough. I'm sorry. We're getting very deep again. I'll stop.
Well, but no, I mean, this is, it's spoiler alert, though, because.
Oh, it is.
Spoiler
alert, because there is, that is the question in Rebels, is she dead or did she just walk away?
Yeah, so it's going to be really interesting to see. But
yeah,
I think that it sort of goes to the disjointed nature of how it was all written. That we got 4, 5, and 6, and then as an afterthought, we came back and did 1, 2, and 3.
Oh, no, we had a plan the whole time.
Is, he had it all planned out, but maybe not.
Yeah, no. No. All right.
All right. We'll stop now because we could go on for this for hours.
So let everyone.
Good because you can come to Dragon Con and talk about
and
it.
Do about this for hours. Yay. And remember, Ewoks are evil.
So let's wrap this up with, again, let everyone know, A, where they can find more information about your track, where you are in the social web, because I'm sure that there isn't anything Star Wars related out there that people can fill up. And B, where you are physically located at Dragon Con.
Well, that's the shorter answer. We are in the Marriott A706 atrium level behind the Pulsar, behind the Habba Trails. It's our nice little corner of the institution over there. That's the easy place. Or consult your app because we do have a great deal of programming in larger rooms this year, including the Imperial Ballroom, which is perfect for us.
I had to do that.
I'm not sure what you were doing there.
And then... Online, we're always SWAT DC, SWAT DC. So it's Star Wars at DragonCon. That's where we are on Twitter, SWATDC.com, or you can just search Star Wars at DragonCon on Facebook, and you should be able to find us.
Sweet. All right. Awesome. Well, thank you, and thank your volunteers for us. Obviously, they're really busy come DragonCon, and I'm sure you're incredibly busy right now just trying to make sure that everything's all in order. So I appreciate you taking the time out to talk to us. And again, I've said this a few, at least 40 times so far. If you see a volunteer, just say thank you. Even if it's just one a day, just say thank you. If you're feeling, you know, particularly randy and that they welcome it, give them a hug as well and say thank you. That would be much appreciated. Or handshake. Handshake's good too. Be sure to bring plenty of hand sanitizer, by the way. That's not a front. That's just an aside to just DragonCon in general. So until next time, I'm not saying all volunteers are filled with germs, but we all are. So what do you know? Anyway, until next time, I think I'm trying to get out of here. This is John for Brandy and Lee saying peace.
Ewok, waka, waka, bye.
This has been a production of The Unique Geek. To leave a comment or suggestion, call us at 833-210-TUG or email us at thegeeks@theuniquegeek.com. Follow The Geeks on Twitter at @TheUniqueGeek. Visit our listserv at listserv.theuniquegeek.com. This podcast is distributed under a Creative Commons share alike non-commercial license.